Thank you very much for a wonderful dinner, Mother. It was very well cooked and delicious and very much appreciated.
Rashi, I don't know what has gotten into you this weekend, but you have been an angel. Thank you so much for being so good.
It is my pleasure, Mother, and also my pleasure spending such a delightful time with my mom.
Wow. Well, you're clearing the dishes? Oh my God. Thank you, Rashi.
Of course, Mother. It is my pleasure and my privilege.
Well, I hope your dad and Super Ika are having as lovely time as we are at Comic-Con.
I want it!
Super Ika, put that down.
I want this!
Super Ika, those aren't free giveaways. Sir, that he's holding onto a $50 Spider-Man figure.
All right,
figure. Here's some money.
I want this!
Mr.
How much for the Tom and Jerry
show? Original setup, that'll run you $600.
Super Ika, stop it! You can't have those things.
Super Ika,
you pulled over the whole table. Why'd you paper all that?
No, Super Ika, that's a Lego statue of Batman. It was put together very carefully. No!
Worst monkey. I'm sure they're having a lovely time.
To get your luggage?
Just leave it in the car for a while.
It would be my pleasure to retrieve your luggage, Father.
Who's that? What happened to Rashi?
I know, right? That's what I said. He's been like this all weekend. I think he might be sick.
I'm going to my room with my swag. Leave me alone. Just leave dinner outside.
Super Ika, can I take you? Ow! Mommy, hit me!
I don't know what's gotten into Super
Ika. Come here, you little son of a bitch! I'm gonna make you pay! What's in your luggage? I want it now!
It's a Spider-Man toy. I wanted it.
I don't think Rashi's sick. I think situation's back to normal here.
Leave me alone, puppy. I'm sorry if I acted poorly at Comic-Con. I was just excited.
Shut up, you wuss! Come here, I'm gonna put your eye on this!
Yeah, it does sound like things are back to normal. Super Ika was out of his skull all during Comic-Con.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was pretty excited. You know, my first time, a couple of times at Comic-Con, there's always free stuff and celebrities to meet and stuff like that. So, but what happened to Rashi? He seemed like...
I don't know. The moment you guys left, he put on a little sailor suit. He kept it clean all week. It was pristine. All weekend long, he was helping me do chores without being asked.
I can't even imagine such a thing.
He used a fork at the dinner table. I couldn't believe it.
Well?
I didn't even think he was able to eat. He's just thrown his food since we've served him for the first time.
Wow. I guess when they're separated, and I guess you're a calming influence on him. Maybe I was too permissive with Super Ika. I mean, I found him later at the Warner Brothers party throwing celebrities into the pool.
Oh, God. Well, that I have to confess I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to another episode of Almost Live with Paul and Misty.
Yeah, well, the...
the long journey home from Comic-Con.
Yeah, the upright Comic-Con.
Yeah, the post-apocalyptic...
Post-Comic-Con.
Yes.
Post-Comic-Con-alyptic...
Yeah.
What,
Carnageddon.
Yeah.
Carnageddon.
After Carmageddon a few weeks ago.
Which traffic back was worse than Carmageddon, honestly.
Well,
there was no Carmageddon.
Yeah.
Like, everyone stayed off the roads, and people everywhere I went that weekend were saying,
"Is a leisure.
Oh my God, you're not going to believe how awesome it is. Yeah. Go for a drive.
I'm running naked and doing jumping jacks in the middle of freeway.
I know.
If they get the word out, you know, people, you know, it's like, hey, that worked out really well. Why not stay at home one whole day every month?
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Think of the gas we'll save.
Oh, yeah.
The gas price will probably drop, you know.
And I'll be able to get to work.
I know. Can you imagine?
Stay home? Yeah, I don't have no problem with that.
So how was your weekend other than having to peel Super Ika off the ceiling?
Oh, peel Super Ika off the ceiling, and every female celebrity within sight, he went bananas.
Excuse the pun.
Yeah, he went ballistic.
And the little rascals noise. Wow. My mom used to love that. It used to make her laugh so hard. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely.
Wow.
You don't know what it is?
I've seen Little Rascals, but I only sort of recall that.
Oh, there's an episode. They used it so many times, but whenever there was a noise of surprise on the Rascals, they used to play this weep, wow, like noise. It's hysterical. And it's actually my ringtone whenever Renee Geerlings calls me. It goes, I wish I had a monkey. Wow. Like that on my phone because it just makes me laugh so hard. But my mother, there's an episode where Spanky feeds the dog some real spicy sausage under the table, and everyone who eats the sausage makes that wow noise, and it's just, they used it. They got the rights to one sound effect, and it is just a really good
Evan
one.
Evan Dorkin says that's the funniest sound effect ever made.
It is really? The funny. He is absolutely right.
And one, they bake a big square cake. They have no idea how to make a cake, mm-hmm. but they throw in things like hairbrushes. They're making a prize cake, so they instead of putting in little prizes, they put in things like hairbrushes.
Ew, how disgusting.
And a shoe and everything. And they put so much yeast in or whatever that the cake comes out. It's in a perfect square, but it bulges and pulses, and you see parts of it bulge like a rubber balloon. It goes rip, wow, 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 like it's really, and it does. It explodes, and it, you know. Everything, but it's what was the sound in regards to or backing up?
Oh, Ezra made
no,
it.
No, I just made it randomly.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, that Comic-Con was like that. That was my reaction.
Comic-Con is like that every year.
That was my reaction seeing Super Rika throw himself at Olivia Wilde, who's now issued us a restraining order, by the way.
Mm. Well, that's fine. You shouldn't be within 500 feet of her anyways.
It's
said the jealous wife.
Okay. Anyway,
yeah,
he behaved very poorly.
Man, I broke toes to not go this. Well, I didn't break them. Some other.
Yeah,
broke
we
him.
Missed you down there. I was so excited to be down there, see y'all, and suddenly I hear you weren't showing.
No, me. So Rashi stayed home to take care of me.
You had
what
a full
happened
work schedule,
was
and
I did have a full work schedule. I ended up having three shows on Friday night. Unexpected,
wow.
Yes. The other seance medium at the Magic Castle called me Thursday and said, hey, you're home. Can you cover my shows? And I was like, nice. Absolutely. He had a family emergency. Everything's
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had a show anyway on Friday, and my schedule was so slammed. They were expecting me to get off the train at 6:30 at Union Station and head over to an 8 o'clock show dressed to go.
Oh.
But as it was, instead, I did a seance, went and did my show, and then went back to do another seance, which was insane. But the third medium, Rob, actually ended up covering the second seance. So it was a much easier night than I was expecting it to be. But it was really crazy, and so much stuff happened while you guys were gone. But it was all like good work stuff.
But getting back to the broken toes.
Stuff.
Yeah, what
with
happened
the broken
there?
Toes, what
it
happened?
It was a week ago tonight.
Yeah, a week ago. And we were at the Captain America premiere.
Oh, yes.
And we were sitting there. And now, you know, when you're in a dark theater, you got to think. You've got to protect yourself sometimes. And I'm an idiot because I wore open-toed shoes to this thing. You know, because it was like vanity won over. I just wasn't thinking about it. Usually
I remember
I wear
you were saying, what, the big clunky boots or the open-toed shoes?
So mm-hmm. And of course, you being a dude, you're like, the open-toed heels, hello.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Which is fine. But we were seated, and the movie was 45 minutes late to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And then an hour into the movie. So this dude was an hour and 45 minutes late.
He would have missed the movie in real life.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so why are you coming at this point? You know, but anyway, this guy comes, excuse me, pardon me-ing his way up the aisle. Excuse me, pardon me, which is no problem, except he's wearing dress shoes with heels. And as he's excuse me, pardon me-ing his way by me, the heel of his dress shoe goes down on my index finger toe and my middle finger toe of my right foot. That didn't make sense, but you know what I meant. It's my first, not the big toe, but the first and second toes. Just the tips where the toenails are.
Ouch.
And I screamed in the middle of the, I yelled out. I went, ah, because it hurt so bad. And the guy hearing me yell out spun to see what he had done. And so the heel of his shoe ground down and twisted, but only if he had had both toes, like straight toes, it would have been one thing. But it was just the tips.
Ooh.
And I just sat there, and they immediately swelled and went numb. Just the tips.
I know. And I was saying,
and
should
I
we
just,
leave?
And he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, shut up, because everyone's watching Captain America.
And the fellow who had done it, you know, I see him looking over at us like all worried and everything. And after the show, he came up and he apologized
profusely.
Oh,
he was so nice. Profusely. He felt he could have been more contrite or more gracious. Yeah. And he was. And I told him, I said, dude, it was an accident. If you had done it on purpose, I'd have thought you were a total jerk. But it was a total accident. It was just a very unfortunate
one. It was
one
of those.
I mean,
it was just one of those
they're still
things.
Numb, and it's been a week. And I actually went to the doctor.
doctor. Yeah. And he showed me the white lines in the bone, and he was like, this is a crush injury, and it's this, and it's that. And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it was like flattened, like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, I mean, like literally millimeters were added onto the length of those
toes.
So
I have to apologize if the sound ran out or something right then, because I stopped listening. It was just too horrific. Oh my goodness. I don't like toe injuries.
But they're fine now. I mean, they're not even purple, but they're weird.
It just sounds so bad.
But I told him, I said, the more feet injury, I used to break my toes all the time in judo, like my chronically on my right foot. Mm-hmm. When you're doing like, you know, putting your foot behind somebody's, you know, getting them to hook in or something like that, you miss and you hit toes on their shins and they just crack and break. You just tape them and move on.
Yeah.
But when it wasn't like this
no.
was different. It hurt so bad. And you don't really know
no.
how much something like that can hurt.
No pain.
Until that happens. Mm-hmm. And I just sat there and wept through the second half of Captain America. And then all of a sudden it was just, they were totally numb and they were fine.
So anyone not paying attention just thought you were really into it.
Yeah, it was an inappropriate moment for me to yell out. I don't even remember what was happening.
It was the World's Fair scene.
Okay. I love that you knew that.
Well, I'm watching it, and then there's... Well, it wasn't like
No, I just love that you're so aware.
Oh, it's World Fair. No, I just remember that they had gone to that scene, and it was bright. It was just at the transition where they had gone to the World's Fair scene, and then the guy came in, and then it's like, oh, are you all right, and everything. But mm-hmm. I remember there was such a dramatic shift over to that. Deuce is fast asleep on a pile of old clothes. Snoring and beat the band.
We have been going through a massive transition. Here, I'll be quiet so they can hear him.
That was awesome.
He's so loud. I mean, he's a good 6 feet away from you.
Yeah,
I know.
And that microphone picked him up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's insane. I was picking him up the whole time, but that one was loud.
It was he meant it. It's so funny. We're going through a huge period of transition. We had a handyman here to build an attic loft in our house and in our garage. And you guys know, we've got the pull-down ladder and all that other stuff. But it doubled the square footage of our house. And it gave us all the square footage in our house is now storage upstairs.
Oh, so we're cleaning out my old storage bins.
Yeah, and he's got tons of stuff. Like from his days at Lucasfilm to Warner Brothers to, I mean, so many collectibles that have been given to him over the years or that he's acquired
on
his
own. In fact, I just found a huge cardboard box filled with all my t-shirts from when I worked at Lucasfilm and the early days of animation in the 80s.
Those were,
And they're all the crew shirts that I've had over the years. Everything from He-Man,
to
Masters
Fat
of the
Albert,
Universe, Fat
to ILM
Albert,
with
Mr.
their original
Bill.
Logo.
Mr.
Yeah,
Bill.
Yeah, Mr. Bill show.
I didn't work on Mr. Bill,
the Ewoks
shirt, there, yeah.
The Ewoks and Droids crew shirts with artwork from the cartoon shows.
Mm-hmm. Some of them looking
for sale. I don't know if anybody would want to buy.
Well, you've got
junk,
that Cyber Garage Sale store, and we need to start putting this stuff up. He's got like 15 vaults, and these vaults are.
Is it something you want to put up on here? Is
yeah, I think
selling?
We should.
Well,
I don't know.
I think I should. I don't. You know, the shirts don't fit me anymore, and even then, you know, it's like I'm not the biggest. I've had these things for years, and it's time to release them.
Well, when you haven't opened the box, and I mean, and literally that box had not been opened in 20 years.
Yeah.
Which is why the shirts, you know, they're not in pristine shape. It's not like you're going to buy these and be
like,
this
is
they're washed, you know.
Well, of course. I just washed them twice.
It's more like, you know, just, you've never seen some of these shirts before. Like I saw the Ewok shirt where the Ewoks were very angry looking.
Yeah.
And very gnarled.
That was the
damn right.
That was the crew shirt that was, interestingly enough, that was not for Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But that was for the Ewok Adventure, which they made the year after Jedi. That was a TV movie.
Yeah, that was really good.
So that was the original art. It might be Joe Johnson's art. I'm not sure. There were so many talented artists up there, but that was whatever the crew production shirt was. Because whenever Lucas would make a movie, there would always be the official crew shirt, and then I still have the crew shirt for Raiders of all things.
Holy
dude. Yeah.
Excuse my mouth.
It's a real nice one. Because I started working there in 84, and the original Raiders was a few years before. So somebody had given me a t-shirt, had saved one of the original t-shirts and given it to me as a gift.
Yeah.
But then also during production, crew people would make kind of gag shirts and then put them on. Actually, last year in Tower Prep, the crew in Vancouver had one made that says, "Power on through." Because that's what Coach says to Ian. You know, come on, power on through. Mm-hmm. Power through it, you know. So they
power through it is what it said.
Power through it, you know. And then
which is something you used to say to Rashi all the time.
Power through it.
Power through it, Rashi.
Oh, yeah, for pain, you know.
Yeah.
I should have said that the other night, except you would have
I would have punched you in the face, yes. Right in the face.
Power through it. Captain America's.
Can you imagine?
Oh,
yeah. Walk it off. You would have felt the full force of my shield.
Oh, yes.
Oh, being my fist. Yeah, but, you know, going back to what we were talking about with the storage, how many vaults do you have? About 15, right?
We cleaned out a few, so probably
you cleaned
about
12. Out two, so you have 13.
12.
Oh, you cleaned
12
out
12 with the muskox in its own bin.
Well, the muskox can stay there.
Yeah.
Dude, guys, he's got a full stuffed muskox. You know how big a muskox is?
It's yours for
like
6
actual
grand.
Actual size.
I don't think I've seen
it. It's an actual ox.
It's a full stuffed musk.
Of course it's actual
full
size.
Well, I mean, I can't fathom somebody having this. That's why I have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You can just put them up and have little kids take pictures with them.
Well,
oh, there you
where?
Go.
Actually,
where,
out
Emily?
Front.
Where should
out front,
we put
in
this?
The front door.
Do it in front yard.
That's where he used to have it. At his old house, he had this really big, giant old house. And in this house, the doorway was flanked by windows. So there was a huge entryway with these beautiful windows, and you had to climb a hill to get to it. So you climb the hill, and in the window, as you're approaching the door, this huge colonial house, on the right-hand side, in the window, is the ass of a muskox. Big, giant musk butt, greeting you as you come up to his house. And then as you come in, it's like, looking at
you. The muskox. Have I ever explained how I came by the muskox?
Do you even want to tell them?
Well, it goes back to, all right, Jingle
yeah,
Bell.
Please tell them, how does one come
in
by?
In the comic books, Jingle Bell, she has a pet muskox named Thrasher. Disney ripped off for Prep and Landing. Thank you very much. Anyway, and they also ripped off the name Jingle Bell, too.
Yes, they did.
All right. Anyway, she has this pet muskox named Thrasher. I thought that she, as a rebellious teen, wouldn't have a reindeer. That she'd want some other sort of Arctic beast, and a muskox was the equivalent of a Harley Davidson at the North Pole. So she flies around on it. And I needed to get reference of a muskox for Stephen DeStefano, who was the artist on the first issues of Jingle Bell. He said, how do I draw a muskox anyway? Now, there are two choices you have. And one is to, you can punch up Google search images for images of a muskox.
Which is perfectly reasonable.
Or you can
many
punch
people
up.
People would do proudly.
Or you can punch up eBay and see if someone has a stuffed muskox for sale. And for some, whatever reason, you know, single guy pulling down a weekly paycheck, disposable income lad decides that's the best option. You know, and besides, they just need something.
What if we need every angle?
But why didn't you just send it to Steven?
What, the muskox?
Yes. Yeah, so he if it was it. For his reference, why wouldn't you just send... Let me guess. You bought the muskox and took pictures with that 110 camera, that Kolchak piece of camera of yours,
with
and sent them
to
him.
Film developed. Well, you know what?
Is that what you did?
No.
No?
No, what happened was I did buy the muskox. It was shipped out in a huge cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
But in a huge cardboard crate and crated in there. And it was so much work getting the crate open that I decided not to get the crate open. And I just sent him the link to Google Images. And he just did it that way.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, anyway, the muskox.
I can't even it's just hanging.
The muskox spent
so you didn't even take pictures with that Kolchak ass, 110, Ectolite, whatever the hell camera
with,
that is.
Oh,
with,
I did
pinhole
eventually.
Camera.
He came outside with a 110 Ectolite camera last night. I said, what in the holy hell?
With the cartridges.
Do you think you're going to do with that? Oh, do you
is
know?
Is that cartridge still good?
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, it's there's
but
one
good
place.
Good luck finding a place to develop it.
There's one place on Earth that still develops it, you know, and I have to...
And it's a bird who knocks it out with its beak and goes, ah, it's a living, when it's done.
No, I have
it's
to...
Unbelievable.
I have to take the cartridge and a plate of cookies to a certain enchanted stump in the forest and leave it there. And then the Rumpelstiltz film shows up.
God.
I will leave it up these for you.
Rumpelfilmkin.
Rumpelfilmkin, yeah.
Horrid.
And,
yeah, so that's one of the many things.
The muskox.
Yes, the muskox.
If anybody's out there is listening, they want a muskox, they have $6,000, I will be happy to.
Write RadioRashi at Gmail.
Yeah, there you go.
$6,000.
That's a bargain.
It is a bargain, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
I saw a stuffed sloth up in Pasadena.
Don't do
it! Oh, that place?
Goldberg, yes. It was in the window. I looked at it. They also had some coyote skulls.
You know what? We could probably get a real sloth for a lot less.
We don't need a sloth. You know why?
Why?
Because I don't like to watch them poop.
because they poop all over themselves.
They only poop once a week.
But they make little pellets in a bucket, and it's very distracting.
Okay. Can we get back to Comic-Con?
Oh, that's probably a good idea.
Must we? Can we finish talking about storage first, or are we done?
No.
Because there's one other thing I would like to tell them that's in your storage area. He found a box of Batman cereal from the original movies.
Yeah, I remember. Captain Crunch kind. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With the cellophane around the
very
bag.
Good.
Still on the box. $40 it went for
of
on
course.
eBay.
$40
for a box of old ass cereal. I said
people want it just because it's still packaged.
Yeah.
They're not going to eat it. They just
of
want
course.
If it was not the cereal inside, it wouldn't be worth as much.
It's, well, think of what we can insane. Get then for my old Ewok Krush t-shirt.
I had I have some interesting things in storage too. I mean, I have some of Sherry Lewis's jumpers.
Ooh,
that someone gave me. Yeah. And I, you know, she just said, would you like these? I don't think they'll fit you, but it just seems like something you guys would have in your collection, and I think that you guys should have them. And they really belong to Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop, and I
wow.
said, are there any puppets in this
yeah,
bag?
Exactly.
Unfortunately, there were not, but, you know, I thought that's the kind of thing that, I know, was it Debbie Reynolds that sold all that stuff? She had Marilyn Monroe's dress, and...
Oh, yeah, she wanted to start a museum, mm-hmm. like a, and this was actually kind of sad, a film memorabilia museum. So she had some really great stuff. She had some of Marilyn Monroe's dresses. She had
the subway dress.
Oh.
The white subway dress.
Oh,
Marilyn.
Yeah.
$4.5 million
Oh, she had Harpo's top hat and wig.
Yep. She had one of Charlie Chaplin's hats.
And the thing is that what happened was she was never able to find a partner to go in and make this museum. And by selling that dress, I think she would have had enough to do something. But then again, you know, running a museum is a big full-time thing. And
right.
Hollywood really tends to, you know, devour its past, and there is no Hollywood museum. Unfortunately, that's sort of stuff that would be very, you know, you think would be very popular, but I don't know. It's almost like Hollywood has gone from a period of revering the past and its stars to the attitude now. You talk to film executives, like, nobody knows who those people were.
Yeah.
Nobody, like you were saying, that people don't know who Marilyn Monroe is. Like, girls coming up, you know, they'll know Madonna or Lady Gaga or somebody who has taken, you know, elements of their act, but they don't know Marilyn Monroe anymore, and they don't know the great comedians anymore. You talk to comics and, you know, they don't know anybody beyond Seth Rogen, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so it's, but, you know, W.C. Fields, Laurel and Hardy, guys like that, it's just, there's been a weird 30-year gap, I think, between, like, 1985 is when it started and now, and there's been this conscientious expunging of all.
No, I understand. When I was in junior high, actually, one of my Halloween costumes was Oliver Hardy, and everyone thought I was fat Charlie Chaplin.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm Oliver Hardy.
Yeah.
I guess I don't have Laurel next to me, but still, come on.
They wouldn't have
obvious.
Known even if you did. They
yeah.
would have said, oh, you guys are the fat and skinny derby guys.
Yeah.
Like, if they know what a derby is.
My dad played old radio shows all the time when I was a kid, so I fell in love with Marx Brothers, Abbott Costello, Edgar Berg and Charlie
yeah,
McCarthy.
Yeah, me too. It was,
George Burns, Gracie Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, I used to, but this is one of the things we discovered when Tyler and I were clearing out my storage was a huge box of Black Hawk films that I'd collected over the years.
Wow.
And that was the one place you could get old comedians was Charlie Chaplin, Laurel and Hardy. All my silent comedies are in there that I collected when I was a kid. Yeah. 8mm things that I used
you
to watch.
Should have Tom put those on DVD for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he does.
I mean, yeah, yeah. Back before, I mean, I think at the time home video was just starting to come in, you know, like, you could still buy a home. You could buy a VHS or a beta cassette, but it was like $80 to get a movie on cassette. You know, mm-hmm. it was really, really expensive. And the Black Hawk catalog, I think the movies were like $30. So that was more of a bargain. I mean, you mm-hmm. had less time, but then there's a whole, you know, a whole Laurel and Hardy feature on there. And, you know, it's just something that just sort of fell by the wayside. I think that more that comedians, I mean, and stars of that time were featured in other things. People don't watch their movies anymore, but they might get the caricature in a cartoon. Like, so many stars were caricatured in Looney Tunes and Walt Disney cartoons over the years. I think the kids grow up knowing the caricature of them more than they actually know the, you know, the people in their work.
Or the gimmick or the catchphrase, but not the actual body of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, they still have a value. I mean, those stars are licensed. I mean, you still see the Wizard of Oz stars and occasionally the silent movie stars showing up on different things here and mm-hmm. there, but less and less every year.
Yeah, it seems to me people know a lot more about them from like the Looney Tunes characters or something
that's
like
how
that.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I go back and look into them.
Yeah, who was that?
Mm-hmm. Well, even the Looney Tunes, you know, like I did a panel with Spike Brandt and Tony Cervone down at Comic-Con. We were talking about
that was a great panel.
Thanks. We were talking about the DVD release of the Blu-ray release of Tom and Jerry and the Looney Tunes.
You've got a little bit of audio from that.
I do.
But they would go every year and participate in around Christmas time. They would go to like luncheons for kids in orphanages or hospitals, and they draw cartoons of the characters. And every year, less and less kids would ask for Bugs and Daffy because those characters just tended to slide into obscurity, and that's the way it is. I mean, you know, the characters are exposed to now are SpongeBob and Scooby-Doo and a few others here. Phineas and Ferb, I guess. Whoever's current. But the Looney Tunes characters, I think that's one of the main reasons they brought them back in that new show was to keep the licensing alive.
And I thought they just brought them back to get Bob Bergen an Emmy.
Wow. That helps.
Congratulations to Bob Bergen, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, for his nomination.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob Bergen is an excellent voice actor who does the voice of Porky on the new Looney Tunes show. He is nominated for an Emmy this year. Very excited for him.
Maurice LaMarche is
nominated. Yes, Mo is also nominated. Yeah. Yay, Maurice.
Cool. I saw him.
What is he nominated for?
I think Futurama.
Okay, yeah, that makes good sense.
Well, there's Deuce. He's snoring to beat the band.
So loud. So we never finished what he was sleeping on. He's sleeping on a very large pile of old Ren Spooner shirts that Paul came across this afternoon and said, I would like to have these dry cleaned and wear them again. It's like finding a little treasure.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, hey, I haven't worn these in forever.
Yeah.
And he found those in with the t-shirts that we were talking about earlier. So some he's going to keep, some he's getting rid of, and he's on the keep pile. Giving us the
He's doing
the
it
snooze
before
out.
It goes to the dry cleaning.
Then. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She wants to make it worth your money.
He's actually claiming them, I think, consenting them so that there's no doubt that they are actually his shirts.
Exactly. He likes that. I'd
like to see him in one.
I think he likes that Buffalo Bill leather jacket that I've got over there a lot.
I think he would like to chew it like a rawhide.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the jacket you wore to our wedding, isn't it?
Yeah, to the barn dance, yeah.
Yeah.
I got that on you. Cody, Wyoming.
Yes, yeah. You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, do we have any more things to talk about? Comic-Con?
Yeah, what else did you do down there?
Did the Arkham panel.
That should have went over well.
That went over great.
Yeah. I saw ads for that every building I looked at.
He called me and he says, you're not going to believe the presence Arkham has at Comic-Con.
Oh,
I said, yeah. And he
said,
there's an entire hotel emblazoned with the image of a game. It's crazy.
It's great. There's a picture of me online. Pointing up at it like an idiot with Kevin Conroy, and we're both pointing up at it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
At least a dozen different booths had Batman Arkham City like memorabilia or props or toys that represented it.
At least one quarter of the DC booth, and that was huge booth, was devoted to.
I know how big it is. That's spectacular.
And that was all Arkham City, like the dolls and the comic and everything.
That's
everything.
A big deal, man. Congratulations.
It is.
To you.
It is.
Very good.
That must feel really good. Like, what, you know, I know you've got some Twitter questions, and this is probably going to be a two-parter, hey?
Maybe, yeah.
So we'll pick up the Twitter questions. Maybe we'll do that separate or whatever. But how does that feel as a creator / writer who's worked on such a high... I mean, I can't think of a higher profile comic property right now. You know, I suppose maybe like the Marvel movies and stuff like that are pretty high profile. But this is a massive, massive presence at Comic-Con. How does it feel to walk around and see that?
It felt great. I mean, you know, I have to tell you, it literally was everywhere. It was on the back of the pedicabs. Mm-hmm. It was on the trains, the trains going down to Ensenada. So on the trolley, it was carried on flatbed, you know, on trucks.
I noticed it more than the new 52.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was everywhere. And I think
what's
that's the main
new 52?
That's the DC's new line of comics. That's the relaunch.
But, you know, I think that's the main reason, you know, like nobody really talked to me about the relaunch. And, you know, it's sort of like I was involved with it. I'm not involved with it. But I think the main reason I'm not is because Arkham was such a priority. And so I was.
What a privilege for you to be. I mean, I can't think of anybody better.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And you're the reason that Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill got involved with this to begin with. They both said, Paul's in, I'm in.
Yeah. And the game has really been terrific. I mean, you know, I could play it for hours.
So. Well, and you enjoy working on it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And it was really good. We had a great panel on it. It was just everywhere. And there's toys and things coming up. So, it was everywhere. And I did have a bit of a little twinge of anger, though, because I was going like, a year ago, I would have killed for tower prep to be on one of those things. Mm-hmm. If they had put up one tower prep banner or one the side of one car, if they had driven around with that, if they had even put the logo on some giveaway bags, because the Arkham City was on giveaway bags. It was literally everything that could be given away had Arkham City on it. And I thought, boy, God, I wish Cartoon Network had the budget just to put that somewhere, you know.
Or the ambition.
Or it's the inclination or whatever, you know, just to put it somewhere on, you know, the side of a bus. And I asked them about it, and they said, we just don't have the money. Mm-hmm. And I'm going like, oh, someone's got the money. Because then I went by the Cartoon Network booth, and they had this huge parade-size Adventure Time balloon there, you know. Dude, someone's got the money for something.
And Adventure Time balloon on the pizza joint. And
I mean, there was no money last year for Tower Prep or for Titan, for that matter.
Yeah.
Symbionic Titan. And threw it all into Adventure Time, which I get, you know. The kids,
but Adventure Time makes it back for them.
Yeah, that's fine. But
you know, but they invested the money in Adventure Time to begin with. And it's just, you know, you get what you give, and they didn't treat your shows very well, period.
No. So
that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. And you're on to so many other projects, like Arkham Asylum,
that
you kind of answered my second question, which was, you have this project you created and a project that you worked on kind of going neck and neck there, you know, and how does it feel to finally see your stuff on a bus ad? And your response was bittersweet.
Yeah.
At least that's what I heard.
Yeah.
You know, you would have loved it if it was your own show, but that was a different time, different place, different situation. But it was nice to see Arkham.
I mean, you know, it's like Tower Prep is my baby. Mm-hmm. Arkham City is my nephew, you know, that sort of thing. So still, it's all in the family, but still, you know.
So what else happened at Comic-Con? Any other good panels?
Yeah, there was the Marvel TV panel. There was a lot of excitement over that.
The one with Jeff Loeb.
Jeff Loeb, actually, he said, he called me up about a week before Comic-Con and said, hey, I know this is kind of last minute, but would you stay and help me make an announcement on Saturday? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm leaving on Friday, but for you, Jeff, anything. So
that is not how the conversation went at all. But they were they really wanted you there.
Yes,
so,
yes. But they really wanted me to stay, and I was happy to do it. And Jeff was talking over all the cool Marvel stuff coming up, and there's going to be a live-action Hulk show. Going to be a Cloak and Dagger show.
Really? Cloak and Dagger?
Cloak and Dagger are two kids who...
They're sort of mutants, and they were spawned through drug addiction, I believe, and gang influences. It was a very dark and street level mutant thing.
Okay, what do they do?
And one can enfold you in its cloak. Can show you your darkest fear, and then Dagger can uses light of purity to purify you or make you see the truth.
Okay.
So, and then Mockingbird, who is a character who is just coming into her own as a superheroine. And and also a show called AKA Jessica Jones, which is by Brian Bendis, which used to be called Alias, but they can't use the title Alias because it's too close to the J.J. Abrams show from a few years back.
Which I thought was Brian Michael Bendis' a creation when I first heard about J.J. Abrams' show. I was like, oh, Alias. Oh,
well, they debuted almost, you know, right at the same time, using the same name. And the Brian Bendis Alias is about a woman who used to be a superheroine for a brief time in the 70s, 80s, and then gave it up. It's sort of like, what if she had been briefly a member of the Avengers, and then she gave it up and had an ordinary life and had kind of gotten away from it all, and how she gradually gets back into it.
And they're shooting all this stuff now, huh?
They're shooting,
is it in development?
I believe Jessica Jones is a pilot, and...
Nice.
I think they're all in various stages of they're far enough along where Jeff can talk.
They're
about
announceable,
it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then,
speaking of announceable.
Oh yes, well then a lot was made about Ultimate Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who Spider-Man is?
Drake Bell.
Drake Bell.
Very nice.
Very cool.
J.K. Simmons is J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh really? You got him to do J. Jonah? Fantastic.
Oh, yes.
He's my favorite voice.
Yes, and he does a terrific job. And Stan Lee is there as Stan the janitor, who is a character who just shows up, you know, at these weird moments and gives Peter Parker a rambling
sort of like
Stanley.
A rambling bit of advice or something. That's Stan Lee, and he just shows up from time to time. And as he should, making
so
cameo.
That's one announcement.
That's one
what
announcement.
What was your other, well...
Oh, and the other one announcement was Jeff called me up on stage and said, what other characters do you like? And I said, well, I've always liked the Hulk. And that led to the announcement of Hulk and the Agents of S.M.A.S.H., which is a new series that I'm working on right now.
Wow, yeah, very cool.
Write the pilot for that.
Agents of S.M.A.S.H. Yeah. I can just imagine all the characters now.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's very funny, mm-hmm. interestingly enough.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah.
I can't say anything about it, but I read it. It's fabulous.
Well, is it going to be sort of comic-y themed, or is it going to be a little more spy themed? Can you express any of that at all?
Nope.
Wow. Nope. Okay.
Nope. I can tell you that it's Green Hulk, Red Hulk, A-Bomb, Scar, and She-Hulk.
Oh, wow.
Make up the Agents of S.M.A.S.H.
That's
going to be loads of fun.
Yeah, it is.
So those were my big announcements, and just talking a little bit about Arkham City and stuff. And for the most part, I just kept kind of a low profile, and I didn't spend a lot of time on the floor because after I went to preview night and I bought the few things I was interested in buying, I just came back and kept Super Ego drugged and threw them in the closet after the first day, so to make sure they didn't run out and escape again.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, let's quickly wrap this up and pick this conversation up next week.
Okay, sounds good. So until next week, I am Paul Dini.
And I am not.
Thanks a lot.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter @RadioRashi or @Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.